Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25. And if you've been with us the past few weeks, you will recognize Matthew 25 because we've been there the previous 2 weeks, and now this is our third week here in this gospel and in this chapter. And this is an important chapter, obviously, and the church in her wisdom has given it to us 3 Sundays in a row, and in fact, the entire year will culminate with this reading that we have today. And you've already heard the gospel reading, the epistle reading, and the psalm reading, which have to do with shepherding and judging. And now we want to look at this text of Scripture. So stand with me as we read from our gospel reading in honor of Christ's words. And you know, you stand for the judge, right? You know, all rise, right? Isn't Christ our judge? And so this is one reason we stand. Notice these words here in Matthew 25, and then drop down to 31, and we'll start reading there. It says this, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the King will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of My family, you did it to Me.' Then He will say to those at His left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from Me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then He will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Jesus, thank You for Your word. Your word is holy, and it is right, and it is true, and it is good. Lord, as we digest this word today, may it be sweet like honey. And even if it stings, Lord, may it bring healing like medicine. We pray in Your name, amen. And you can be seated. I was at a Kairos meeting, which is a prison ministry, and I was with Carrie Lawrence, and it was my first time to ever be at one of these meetings, and so they circle up. It'd be like all of us. There's about as many of us as there are at one of these meetings in a big circle, right? And so I was sitting beside her. She said, "Don't worry about it. You're just going to introduce yourself and this sort of thing." So it came to her first, though, before me to introduce herself. You know, she said, "I'm Carrie Lawrence." And what you had to do is you had to introduce yourself and tell them why you're doing Kairos, you know. And so she said, I'm here. I'm Carrie Lawrence, you know, and I am here with my pastor who told me that I'm going to hell if I don't do this. And I look over, I'm like, what in the world? And I mean, there was this one woman across from me, but she gave me the stink eye. You know what I mean? Like, what? You know, who is this guy to tell you that you're going to hell, you know? And so she didn't offer any explanation, of course, you know. And she laughed about it as well, you know. I think she even slapped me on the knee, you know. Well, classic Carrie style. And then I had to introduce myself. Hi, I'm the pastor that said she's going to hell, you know. Man, wow. Well, where she was getting that from, and of course where I was getting it from as well, as her and I had talked and I had preached recently on this very matter, was Matthew 25. And it is a tough text, isn't it? The whole thing's been tough. I mean, from the verse 1 all the way to the end. And please remember, this is the height of Jesus' ministry, okay? This is not some one-off thing. He's at the end of his life, and he knows it. It's actually Tuesday of Holy Week when he says these words. And he's being very serious with his disciples. And we're his disciples, aren't we? And he's speaking about the end, not just the end that will come that will so confuse everyone. God on a cross, naked, thirsty, dying for us and in our place. That's going to be confusing enough. That seems like the end of ends. How could we kill God when he showed up? And yet, that's not the end. The end that he speaks of is even beyond that end. It is the end with a capital T and a capital E, like the end of the movie. And you know, the thing about it is he's already shown up in the middle of the movie. You know those little, vignettes or caveats that, cameo, thank you. What's his name? Stan Lee. Do you remember the Marvel guy, Stan Lee? He'd always like show up in his movie. You know, it's like he's doing some odd character or whatever. Nobody knows this. Some people know this, okay? Okay, Jesus, in a similar way, shows up in his own story, doesn't he? It's his story. It's not our story. It's not your story. It's not the story of Rome. It's not the story of America. It's not the story of Russia or put any other kingdom there. It is not their story. It is God's story. It is his story. And he's the one who's moving the players around. We know this. We're told this. He is a God that is providential. He knows what he's doing. And he's in control of the world. That's why we celebrate today Christ the King of the universe. Not just of one nation, Israel, in one place, Jerusalem, but rather all peoples, for all times. He is the king of it all, and everybody else under him are little kings, little shepherds, little judges, and so on and so forth, that will answer to the king, the judge, the good shepherd. And so we must take these words seriously. Jesus is not giving us a parable here. This is as real as it gets. And I think this is as clear as Jesus can get, isn't it? I mean, you're almost labored in the reading, hungry, thirsty, right? And you're like, oh, he's going to say the whole thing again. And now again? What happens when someone says something over and over again? Right? I tell my son, don't forget to do this, right? Make sure you get that. I say it multiple times. Of course, I got it, Dad, I got it. They show up, they don't have it, right? I hear Jessica all the time repeating herself. Does anybody else do that as a parent? Repetition is a good teacher. And the scripture knows this because the writer of the scripture is the Holy Spirit. And he repeats this because it is important. And here's the other thing that I think we can take from this that we might not often think of. When we have a parable, we have something that is, notice this, follow me here. We have something that's symbolic that points to a reality, right? Everybody with me on this? There's a symbol that points to the reality. That's not the cross that Christ died on. Okay, everybody understands that. But that is a symbol that points to that cross that Christ died on. Okay, so we get a parable, we get symbols, right, metaphors that point to a reality. Now, when we get something real, just a vignette of Jesus' life, a real story of his life, a real teaching of his, just like Paul's teaching, right? Notice this. This can also then be the reality that is then symbolized. Do you see how that works? It actually can work both ways. Here's what I mean by that. I was hungry. You didn't feed me. Okay? It can mean actual hunger, can it? But it can also mean a hunger for the good news. A hunger for the Word of God. The Bible will often do this, won't it? It means both at the same time. It has these double meanings. You can't read the Psalms without double meanings. In fact, when Jesus is with the guys on the road to Emmaus, remember? The way he interprets the Scriptures is this kind of double meaning. In other words, I'm all throughout the Old Testament. What do you mean you didn't see me? Well, when we were, I don't see Jesus. I just see a bunch of killing. We just start complaining. We're not reading it right then. When the enemies are driven out of the Holy Land, that is sin being driven out of the Holy Land. Everybody with me on this? We have a Holy Land, don't we? Our body. It is to be holy unto God. We're not to harbor enemies of Christ in here. No, the Holy Spirit wants to drive those out, doesn't he? He does. It's a good place to insert amen there. God did not do his work on the cross and ascend to heaven and send his Holy Spirit just to forgive us of sins, but to heal us, to transform us, to share in his very character. That was always his design. That's how he made us. We were made for good works in Christ Jesus. We were made to be like him. In fact, we run off of his Holy Spirit, if you want to put it in plain language. Just like your vehicle runs off of gasoline, we are to run off of the Holy Spirit. That's how he made us. That is what fulfills us in our life. And so hungry can mean actually taking food to someone, like we just did this past week. You know, went to a gentleman that had served in Vietnam and even beyond that, and just an awesome little, I don't know, 3 or 4 minute conversation, prayed over him, handed him some food. In fact, the way it happened was, I thought it was kind of neat. And Jessica called and said, hey, we're bringing you some food. He's like, oh man, that sounds great. You know, he was like really excited, you know, about as excited as I get when Jessica says, dinner's ready, you know. I'm like, all right, I've been standing there for 30 minutes, you know. And this guy, he goes, all right, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I didn't even know. I didn't think I was getting food till Monday, you know. And so hangs up the phone. We're on the way, and he calls back, and he says, excuse me, are you bringing food perhaps to me? And she was like, oh yeah, no, I am. He says, I thought I was dreaming. And he got excited all over again, you know. It's like, how awesome is that? You were hungry and you fed me. When you did it for them, you did it to me. You think Jesus is kidding? Thirsty, you did it to me. Stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, you visited and cared for me. Imprisoned, and you visited me. Those can be physical and spiritual. Aren't there people in our lives that are imprisoned by addiction? We all have things that chain us to something in this world. And Christ can break those chains. But you know how he often does it? Over time and through others. It's not going to be your power, friend. It's going to be Christ's power. It's going to be that he gives us a new heart. You say, I don't know, Pastor. I can't be anything other than what I am. That's a lie from the pit of hell. No matter, I'm telling you, no matter, and I say this often, repetition is a good teacher, right? No matter how many times you deal with that issue, whatever that issue is, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's lust, maybe it's greed. Maybe it's malice. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Whatever that is, no matter how many times that moves back in, do not give up. Continue praying that God takes that from you. I have seen him do that in my life. I've seen him do it in Jessica's life. I've often said those two things, right? And we Jessica and I, watch as others get caught in this or that, and it breaks our heart. But there's hope. There's a God who wants to deliver us, who wants to gather us into his family. We don't belong to those other families. And listen, it's not about condemnation and shaming. Listen, here's how you know the difference in the spirit Satan, which means accuser, and the Holy Spirit. So maybe we could say the accusing spirit and the Holy Spirit. The difference is this. Once you do something that's wrong, evil, sinful, what'll happen is Satan will start laughing at you. This is who you've always been. Like, you tried, didn't you? But you see, I've been trying to tell you, this is who you are. That's Satan. That is the accuser saying, you could never be better than this. This is just who you're a failure. You're nothing. You're worthless, and so on. The Holy Spirit comes along and says, you know what you did was wrong. But you're better than that. You are better than that. You belong to a family that is better than that. We come from a long tradition that is better than that. He raises us up. The enemy puts us down and gives us no hope. Friend, whatever you might be dealing with today, he can deliver you. I don't even know what it is. But grace is more powerful than sin. Grace, the cross, is more powerful than bondage to sin. He didn't die. He didn't resurrect. He didn't ascend to heaven to be king of the universe so that we just have to muddle around doing the best we can. Coming every week, just forgiveness. That's all it's about, just forgiveness, and we're good to go. No, no, no. Transformation. Forgiveness makes transformation possible, doesn't it? If we mess up in our marriage like we often do and sin against one another, if we weren't able to forgive each other, we couldn't move on. But the point of forgiveness is not to do it again. It's to move on and become different and see the other person and love them so much that what we used to do is greater. What we're pursuing is greater than what we used to do. We have something to live forward to and to live into. That's the kind of hope Jesus brings. And so we could go down the list. Are we welcoming those who don't seem to fit in our world? Strangers, right? And there's a lot of young people right now. I don't know what to make of my life. I don't know who I am. There's a lot of adults that don't know who they are still. And can I just plead with you? You will never find yourself by looking into yourself. Because you were not made for yourself. The self longs for the other. It is necessary in our life that we have and recognize and appreciate and be thankful for the other. Because we wouldn't even exist without another. And you back that all up, and that other becomes a capital O, doesn't it? Because it's not an it. It's a he. Who is personal, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You were sick. How many people around us are sin sick? How many people around us are hopeless? And they're sick. We are called to visit them. Think about it. And care for them. When they don't see, you know, we're to be Samwise to Frodo, aren't we? You know? Like when all hope seems to be lost, he's always the positive one. Mr. Frodo, you know, I think we can do this. And we look up and we see a little star in the sky, right? Even at Mount Doom. That can be the kind of encouragement that we give to those who are sick and hopeless and thirsty. Thirsty for life. Thirsty for something real. How many of us have any real relationships? What I mean is, people really know who you are, and you really know who they are, and you still love each other. That's what the church is to do. We are to have those kind of relationships. So we could spend a lot more time there, but Jesus is very clear here. I cannot do better than what he's already done here, okay? So where I want to go is this. There's two big images here in all four of our texts. It's that he's the good shepherd, which shepherding is an image of ruling and of kingship. If you actually look in the Old Testament, shepherding is equal to a type of king, okay? And of course, David, guess what David was, right? He's a shepherd, right? Moses is a type of shepherd. And of course, Jesus is called the good shepherd of the sheep. We are to be his sheep, not his goats. Not his goats that just eat anything. You know, sheep don't eat anything like goats do. Goats eat everything, right? Like if you put an old car out there, they'll eat it, you know? Like they'll eat whatever. They don't care. And they walk along the edges, okay, of the rocks. Sheep do not do that. Do you see the point here with the imagery here? Sheep follow. Okay, they're not driven like cattle. They follow a leader, you know? Goats, again, walking along the edges of sin. Don't be that. No. Get in the sheepfold. Hear the shepherd's voice. Of all the things that we could worship, you know, I always get that image of when I was in India with all those just hundreds of gods. And of course, they have 300 million plus gods there. But in this idol shop, I was in a shop with idols. All these idols, you know, all these different gods. And right in the middle, it seemed as just, whoa, it was the good shepherd. And it was carved out of wood, you know. And it was the one where he's got the sheep on his shoulders, which comes from that parable that Jesus tells about the lost one. That's where they get that image from. He puts the lamb on his shoulders and brings him back. That is our God. He comes after us. So notice, he's always first. He's always the one seeking us. We think, oh, I found Christ, right? You know, people even say that. And that's okay. It really is okay to say that because you did find Christ. But get this, here's what we all know. When we find Christ, we already know he has found us, really. Because he was the one seeking when we weren't. He was the one putting things in our path. He's the one who fills our lungs with the breath that we have. That's called grace. He gives us his grace. And when we find him, what we really understand later and deeper is that he found us. He's the one knocking. He's the one seeking. And yet, we're told to knock. And we're told to seek, aren't we? Which is our work. We're told to ask. So we have the good shepherd and we have the judge. And those are not two separate images here. They're meant to be one. The judge is our shepherd, and the shepherd is our judge. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. He will judge the whole world, okay? Those wicked and the righteous. Did you notice in the text here? Everybody is gathered. Did you catch that? He gathers everybody to himself. And then he separates. So first, there's going to be a great gathering. Second, there's going to be a great separation between the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And of course, the language here, isn't it difficult? You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire. Notice this, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell, eternal separation from God, which is what hell is, that was created for the devil and the demonic, not for humans. And yet, if we follow, as John says, our Father, who is the father of lies, Satan, then we'll follow him to where he goes. But if we follow our Father who is in heaven, who's a truth teller, then we'll also follow him into eternal bliss. Notice again, for I was hungry and you didn't do these things. Notice it's not based on your intentions. It's not based on just what you confess out of your mouth, but what you do with your life. And the separation is eternal. Notice again at the end here, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's only two ways, brothers and sisters. There's only two ways, eternal damnation or eternal life. You say, Pastor, this is like the second week in a row where we're just doing hell again, you know? Jesus did it two times in a row. And our text have it twice in a row. Honestly, I would have gone elsewhere to celebrate Christ the King Sunday. But here's the reality. He's coming again. He's already slipped in our world, dressed up in flesh. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. Okay? And this is why we dressed up today, by the way. The second time, he's going to come dressed up. He's going to come in all white, okay, with all of his angels. Now, he came, think about the comparison here. I wish we could just spend some time. This would be cool to do with you all because you're brilliant. I'd love to do this. Notice, the first time he comes, he slips in, clothed in flesh, right? All of God, the Son, clothed in the flesh. All of his glory into a little zygote, fetus, baby that is born December 25. With a little cry, he comes into the world, right? Just a little cry. And then the shepherds are told, aren't they? You get the point here? The shepherds are told. They're the ones who are supposed to be, again, leading the people to God. The shepherds are told first. And the angels are all there, but not many people see. In fact, all the important people, they miss it because it wasn't in the news. I don't know. I don't see a Messiah coming, right? The news is not ultimate for us. We need to know that, right? Some of us just glued to the TV over things. Listen, let's first be glued here because he's in total control. I know there's all kind of things every day that go on that you can do nothing about. But what you can do are the people that you shepherd. That's what you can do something about, the people that you shepherd. And you're going to be responsible for those. So you got that, a little cry, right? Well, think about it. The second advent, the second time he comes, just also, he's going to come with the angels, right? That's what we're told. And this time, that little cry transforms into a cry that every person to ever live will hear. And upon hearing it, will bend the knee. Everyone. You just name somebody. Napoleon, oh yeah, bend the knee. Hitler, bend the knee. Abraham Lincoln, bend the knee. Just trying to use some people here. Aristotle, bend the knee. And confess, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Unable to look up. If you were haughty in this life, you will be lowered then. Cut down. In fact, notice in their text, he's coming for the fat and lazy. That's what Ezekiel says. Ezekiel's always pretty blunt. Jessica was like, did you know that like in Ezekiel, the two girls? I was like, yes, babe. She's like, seriously, you knew that? It's like, yeah, well, you can't unread that. You know what I mean? That's the R part of Ezekiel. But Ezekiel's very blunt because he's a priest. And God called him to be a prophet. And so when he is pretty blunt about things, it's shocking because he's the priest that was called to be a prophet. But it is serious matter. And it is something for us to consider. We are to consider our lives in these very stark ways. There's only two ways. Only two ways. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 5:10. That everyone may receive, just bear with me for a moment, receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In our head? No. In our soul? No. Body. What you do in your body, whether good or bad. Now, I know people get uncomfortable about this. Where are you going with this? Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Romans 14. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, King of the universe, by the way. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Do you believe it yet? I said, oh, yes, surely it's just going to be, you know, laissez-faire. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of. This is Jesus in Matthew 12. Thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. John 5, not to mention, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, that little baby cry, to now a shout, a trumpet, and will come forth, just like Lazarus. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Put back in a body, to life or to death. Or 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment for the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. And then if you turn to the end of your Bible, just the very back, Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from his presence, earth and sky fled away. Can you imagine that? And no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small. This is 2012. I saw the great, dead and small. I'm sorry, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Also, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. And the sea gave up its dead. Death and Hades gave up the dead in them, and all were judged by what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? What are you actually doing with Christ? Doing with his gifts, his money, his house, the things that he gave all of us. Because all the things that we have are gifts of his. As we said last week, we are to be stewards of them. And you say, Pastor, that's pretty tough. I 100% agree. I absolutely agree. He's coming back, and we will be judged, and we will be separated. And listen, you might have everything buttoned up in this life, have all these things, these good works to offer, but if you don't know Jesus, he'll say, I don't know you. And then again, you might be serving who you think is Jesus. But because you don't have the Word of God, because you don't have the Holy Spirit, because you're not discipled by anyone, It's just your own little game you're playing. It's called idolatry. You too will show up without any works. He's going to say, what were you doing? Building your own stuff? Spending my money that way? Did I tell you to do that? Was that my command to you? You passed all these people who were hungry and thirsty, but you served yourself first. Fat and lazy one, go away from me. The rich have the most trouble. And can I say, in America, even our poor people are rich. Now, I know there's some real poor people out there in America, but we have government funding and all kinds of things to help people, really do. And oh, those are great, wonderful, okay? They don't in India. I've seen it myself. They don't in Mexico. I've literally seen it myself. Haiti, I've laid eyes on them. As they're walking along, just crawling along. I mean, it seems barbaric to us here in America. Now, the reason we have those things is because we're Christian. We're. All of that, hospitals, all these things stem from a Christian. We could go for days on that, right? I hope you understand. That's a Christian response. Those other countries, they did not have that. And they still don't to this day. The least of these. What are we doing there? We are to be about our Father's business, and He says that His will for us is our sanctification. Which means then, the way that we wait for the King, because thankfully, that last part is not the, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth, they passed away, and the sea was no more. And there was a holy city, and so on. There's good news. Here's the good news. Our sins, our failure, He can wipe them away. He can forgive us. Thanks be to God. Because not one of us can stand before Him and be righteous on our own. In fact, Paul will talk about it as the righteousness of God is like new clothes. He says, put on Christ. Put on Christ. Just like you put on whatever you have on right here. Put on Christ. That's through baptism. We put on Christ. So we're going to remember here in a moment our baptism as we put on Christ once again. Every day we put on Christ. We can be forgiven. But it must not stop there. If you think it stops there, you've not read the Bible. If you think it stops there, then you haven't received the Holy Spirit, because He gives us a new heart which longs for His righteousness, which means good works. There is no separation between faith and works like we like to think there is. They are one and the same. Not the same identically, right? But they go together like a married couple. You can't separate, like our marriage, Jessica and I, which we're going to be celebrating 20 years, you know, in May. It's like, you can't say our marriage is just Marshall or our marriage is just Jessica. It's impossible. They go together. Just like your soul and your body go together. Can't be separated. When it is, you're dead, right? Same thing here. Faith and works, they go together, or else it's a dead faith. So if you've been walking around with a dead faith, brothers and sisters, invite the Holy Spirit in today. He can transform our lives. He can give us new desires. He can give us a new heart. He can transform our mind. Like, this is real and possible. And it's supposed to be the mark of Christians. And I know often it isn't, but that is no excuse for us. So how do we wait? We wait in ready position. We wait for the King ready to go. Just like an athlete, you know, they line up before the play happens, and the big play, it's going to happen one day. But right now, we're in ready position, ready to do His will, ready and able to move in this or that direction. Not serving ourselves, not laid back, again, spiritually fat and lazy. Also, we wait in the three theological virtues. You know them, and they're actually in our Ephesians reading right here. Faith, hope, and love. Can you just say that with me? Some of you are having trouble. Well, you're praying for me, and I appreciate that. But faith, let's do it together. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, trust in God. Love, charity to God and others. Hope is a longing for things to be made right. And man, if you don't feel a longing today for things to be made right, I mean, wake up, dear friend. Jesus is going to make everything right that's wrong. So don't be living for the wrong. Live for what is right. It's what righteousness is. And then, finally, wait in the church, his bride. We are his bride. Wait. That's the Spirit and the bride, they say, come, Lord Jesus. We're to be one with the Spirit. And what that means is we worship, we disciple, and we serve. The three acts of the church. We as a church, we worship publicly and privately. Got to be both. We disciple and are discipled. It's got to be both. We serve because of God. Because when we serve in prison or the hungry or your neighbor or the person at work, listen, we often bifurcate like, oh yeah, I got to go to work and then I'll get to the Christian stuff over here. We're to be Christian at our work. Like God has given you these abilities with your hands and with your mind. Like serve those at work. I'm not asking you to pile on stuff. Oh yeah, I got to get out of here, man, because I got so much to do other than what I normally do. No, no, no. Go with Christ to work, to school. That's how he designed it. As you go, make disciples. That's the Great Commission. As you are going in your life. Which means rather than, for instance, getting mad at the waitress, I can't believe it's been this long. Hey, you know what? Is there a way I can pray for you today? Some people will say no. Say, okay. I'm going to do it anyway, just so you know. You know, that's what I always tell them. But, like, instead of, oh, I can't believe this person's not serving me. That's supposed to be Jesus. Would we treat him that way? Of course not. What about on the road? See, I don't just use the ones I like, right? How can we serve one another? How can we serve the least of these? You know, there's only two kinds of people in the end. John Wesley says this, and others, C.S. Lewis for one. Those who say to God, thy will be done with my life. Thy will be done. And those who God says, thy will be done. Depart from me. I never knew you. We can know that we know. We can be assured today that we are his children because we look like him, because we think like him, because we act like him, because we have him, the Holy Spirit, in us. You see, there's no way that we can't not know. It's not some kind of guessing. I hope I did enough. What? No. Works are never the way to God. He always comes first. We already said that. Works, good works, are the walk with God. Why? Because that's what he's doing in the world. So if you're going to join him, it's just like if some of you know this, but like when I'm doing stuff around here before service and stuff, somebody says, hey, could I talk to you real quick? Walk with me, right? Because you got to come with me. I can't stop. I got to keep going, you know? And even in real life, I have to keep going even though I don't have anything to do. I just have to move, right? Are you walking with Christ? Are you walking with God? You can know that today. On this last Sunday of our liturgical year, on this Christ of the Universe Sunday, is he King? I'm sorry, King of the Universe Sunday. Is he King of your life? Is he King of your life? He already is King of the world. What about your life? He can be. And that's what we celebrate today as we move into our time of communion. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may it be so. Jesus, amen.